Ecclesiastes, and this evening service. Oh, listen, I needed two glasses of water tonight. Amen. I had to turn the air conditioner on. Somebody's deodorant wasn't working as well as it should have been back over there in the fellowship hall. And it wasn't me because I didn't wear any, so it wasn't. I know it wasn't me, but I won't mention any names because if I do, the ladies would surely be embarrassed. So I won't mention any names. But anyway, I feel a sermon coming on. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 in your Bibles tonight. Man, I'm just glad I get to preach tonight. Amen. How does it feel to preach, Autumn? Just get up and let off some steam. Amen. Just get up and let it go. And man, she went to the church this morning, and you know, she's on deputation now, so she's deputating, and she'll be gone at churches in different churches trying to get her deputation met and get the money she needs to go. And so she's at a church today, and the preacher said, "I'm not preaching today." And he said, "It was you. You're going to get up and do all the Sunday school and all the morning service." And I'm sure that was interesting. She didn't, you know, you're not supposed to preach, but, you know, I don't know. You give a lady a whole hour to say whatever she wants. I can't help but think a little sermon's going to come out somewhere. Amen. Especially if she's Alice's granddaughter. I'm telling you, there's just something we got to squeak out from that. I think there is. But anyhow, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, let's begin verse number 1 here in this passage of Scripture. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." My text is verse 6. "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. But thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Let's pray tonight. Oh God, tonight we thank you for the privilege to preach the Bible. We thank you for the privilege to, Lord, get these scriptures out. And God, tonight, we just ask for a special do from on high tonight, God, because, Lord, we want to see these scriptures do something for your glory and your honor. And I know many have been praying about this. And so, God, tonight, I pray that you'd help us to just focus on this tonight and focus on what you said in your word. Your word is powerful, Lord. Your word is mighty. And God, tonight we just need to see and be reminded tonight of what the Bible teaches us about the power of the Word of God, the seed that is sown. So bless, we ask tonight, thy word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes is about life. It's about life in general. It's not necessarily just about a certain incident, but it takes a look at all of life and comes to the conclusions of what life is all about and what really matters and is important in life. There are so many things in life that we could do without. I don't know if you ever have a bucket list. I have a bucket list of things that I would like to do in life, don't you? I have a bucket list. Every once in a while, the Lord will let me do one of those little bucket list things. But if I don't get to do them all, I'm good, because If I can focus on what's important in life, that is where real happiness is going to lie. That's where my joy is going to be. And I want to tell you something tonight. In this matter of wisdom, God is teaching us the importance of making sure that the seed gets sown. And I want to draw your attention again to verse number 6. And notice what it says. It says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. Again, let me remind you that this is not just talking about a certain event. This is talking about a picture of life, what life is all about and the importance of it. And I think what he's saying here in the wisdom of Solomon, I think Solomon is looking at, and he's saying, and this is my first point, is that you must sow early in life. Notice he said, in the morning, sow thy seed. Did he say, wait till the afternoon to sow the seed? He didn't say that. He said, in the morning, sow that seed. Get up early, get you your bag of seed. And as the sun's coming up on the horizon, God says, plant that seed. Get that seed in early. Now, if he's talking about life, then can I remind you? He's probably talking to you young people. He's probably talking to you who are young in life to start early in life sowing seeds, giving out the gospel, being somebody who plants something purposeful in your life and start at an early age. Start in the morning. Oh, how many Christians I know regret their youth. And look back over their youth and look back over the years of the times of their youth. And they say, I wish I would have lived differently in my youth. And I want to tell you tonight, wisdom teaches us, wisdom shows us to sow seeds in the morning. Sow your seeds in the morning. Get up and serve God every day. Don't say, well, I'm young now. I gotta sow my wild oats. I heard about a man who said that for his son. He said, you know, I'll let my son, as soon as he gets old, then he can get serious about life. Let me tell you something. He may never make it. He may never make it. Don't wait till you get old. Serve God when you're young. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. God said, don't wait till you get old. That's when you start falling apart. Don't wait till you start falling apart. Get busy when you're doing it, when you got it all together. Amen. That's what he's trying to say. And so I'm saying the first point of my message tonight is get an early start. Hey, listen, when you reach I'm only 55, and that's young. Amen. Say amen right there. I'm only 55. I'm not that old, but I want to tell you something. I wake up sometimes and I feel something coming on. Every once in a while, it's not always there. Amen. And sometimes I wake up and I'm thinking, oh Lord, what is that pain in my back? And I look over and it's my wife's fist. It's in my back. Amen. And after what I said this morning, I'll probably get another fist. Amen. Why won't be the last fist I see? I'm saying tonight that you got to start early. Don't get mixed up in sin and the crowd and the foolishness of this world. Don't get mixed up. In the morning, serve God. In the morning time, sow some seeds for God. Don't wait till you get old. Well, as soon as I get old, I'll do something. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. Get at it while you're young, while you got time, while you got energy, while you got spizzarinctum. Amen. Get busy. You say, what's spizzarinctum? I don't know. I learned it in Texas. I'm just saying, hey, do something. Bible says, sow the seed in the morning. Now notice what he said also in the rest of the verse. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. He's saying, all right, just because you started young doesn't mean you can quit when you get older. Are you with me? Well, Preacher, I've taught that Sunday school class now for 25 years. It's time I turn it over to somebody else. And let me tell you something, in the evening time, don't withhold your hand. Keep that plow going. Somebody needs the gospel. Somebody needs you to show them how to be saved. Somebody needs you to love them to Christ. In the evening time, withhold not thy hand. I don't ever plan to retire. I plan to refire, not retire. God will give me the last breath behind this pulpit, I'll be a happy man. But I'm saying tonight, don't quit just because you get old. It may be harder. It may not be as easy, and you may not, your steps may be a little slower. It's all right. Just don't take your hand off. Just don't take your hand off. Just stay at it. Just keep doing the best you can. Just keep at it. There's always something that can be done. There's always somebody that needs Christ. Keep on. Keep your hands on. I appreciate Brother Stark. Brother Stark spent many years for Christ, and because of health reasons, he had to come home off the mission field. But I tell you what, he's still staying after it. He's still staying after it. He tells me sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm old and I'm just worn out. He says, but I'm still staying at it. He's trying to get churches in Rwanda built, got five of them done. I believe the Lord's going to give him the rest of the five that he's working on and praying for. Thank God for that. I'm simply saying tonight, when you're young, get started early sowing. When you're old, don't take your hand off it. Just ask for God's strength every day. He'll provide it. Now notice the rest of verse number 6. Are you still with me? For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that. You know, you don't know what the gospel's going to do. We don't know what this is going to accomplish. We have no idea. You know, a wise farmer, when he plants that crop, he does not know really in the fall if that crop's going to come up or if the grasshoppers are going to eat it, if it's going to burn up, if the sun's going to burn. He has no idea. But he plants it anyway. He plants those seeds anyway. And sometimes it doesn't come up, and sometimes it gives him a bumper crop. But he's sure glad when that harvest time comes that he did plant and sow that seed in the ground. And so, and by the way, a wise farmer told me one time, he says, I always try to plant a little bit extra. I said, why is that? He said, because if the crop is really good, then I have a little bit extra room next year in case the crop is bad. That sounds like a wise farmer. But I'm simply saying, and Scripture tells us that you may sow the seed and you may get up early and start planting, and you may not withhold from it, but you don't know how it's going to prosper. I wrote down some things about how it may prosper. Number one, it may prosper in unusual places. I think what God is saying, though, is that the gospel is going to prosper somehow, some way. If you'll look with me, please, at a verse of Scripture in Isaiah 55. Hold your finger in Ecclesiastes and go over to Isaiah chapter number 55. I want you to notice this verse. Isaiah 55, look at verse number 11. Notice the Bible says here, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Doesn't that make you excited? The word of God came from God's mouth, and it's going to prosper. God made it. We don't know where it's going to prosper. We don't know how it's going to prosper. But sometimes it prospers in unusual places. There's a story of a man named Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was saved in a Siberian prison camp. A remarkable testimony of the power of the gospel. Solzhenitsyn was being examined one day by a fellow prisoner. He was a Jewish physician who had been won to Christ by the example of another prisoner. He noticed the misery of Solzhenitsyn's eyes. The doctor told him his story showed him about his faith in Christ, a Jew in prison. Solzhenitsyn came to a place where he received Christ in that prison from a Jewish doctor's testimony, and he survived and then went to the world to tell the power of God in his life. I'm saying to you, the gospel may prosper in unusual places. You never know where it's going to go. You never know what's going to happen. You know, when you plant something, it brings forth seeds. And when the wind comes by, it takes those seeds. And you never know where it's going to go. It may go into some very unusual places. But the gospel has the power to go anywhere. It just has to be sown. It has to be given out. Number two, it may prosper to unusual people. You know, it's amazing the people get saved and serve the Lord. I'm still amazed at it. You know, a preacher once has these people that look perfect and act perfect. They walk into church. They got a nice tie, nice suit coat, nice car, and all this stuff. And boy, you think, man, they got it all together. Can I tell you, some of them folks are the worst sinners you'd ever meet in your life. They are. It's just common everyday yous and me's that God seems to allow the gospel mostly to prosper in our life. Helen Keller was deaf and she was blind. And she was taken one day to a man named Philip Brooks. In the simplest of terms, this great preacher told the girl about Jesus. As she heard the gospel, her face lit up. And she spelled out into the hand of this preacher these words. She said, "I knew all the time that there must be one like that," talking about Jesus, "but I never knew his name. I never knew his name." I'm simply saying the gospel can prosper to unusual people. You never know. I was reading that book of Brother Stark that he put out, and he had an opportunity to give the gospel to the president of Uganda. He'd gone to a rally to hear him speak. And afterwards, the president saw them in there. You know, if you're white in Africa, you kind of stand out a little bit. And he saw them, and he signaled them to come over, and they got to talk to the president. Brother Stark said in his book, he said, "I got the opportunity to talk to the president and give him the gospel." He didn't make any commitments at that time, but he said, "My wife is a Christian." Now, I've heard both stories about the man. I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It is amazing the unusual places that the gospel will go. It's amazing. You never know, but if you never plant that seed, then you know it's never going to go anywhere. So it may prosper to an unusual people. Number three, it may prosper in creating an unusually changed life. Someone may really have an amazing change in their life because they've heard the gospel. I've heard of mobsters that have gotten saved. I've heard of many people that are saved. Dr. Tom Williams got on an elevator one time, and there was Elvis Presley. And he got to give the gospel to Elvis Presley while he was on that elevator. And he says that Elvis Presley had a good testimony that he was saved. It's too bad he didn't live like it and turned many away from the gospel. But unusual people can make unusual things in their life. There was a wicked man. He was an English earl. And he went to the Fiji Islands. He was an infidel and a very critical man of Christianity. And he went to the chief of the Fiji Islands. And he said to the chief, he said, "You're a great leader, but It's a pity you've been taken in by those foreign missionaries. Not only, they only want to get rich through you. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of the threadbare stories of Christ dying on a cross for sins of mankind. They know better now. I'm sorry that you have been so foolish as to accept their story. The old chief's eyes flashed as he answered, "See that great rock over there? On that rock we used to smash the heads of our victims. See the furnace next to it? In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it had not have been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us from cannibals to Christians, you would never leave this place alive. You better thank the Lord for the gospel, otherwise we'd be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible, you now would be our supper." That's quite a thought. I'm saying tonight, God can do unusual things with the gospel. Usual people, unusual lives are changed. People here and there in huts and places and little insignificant places and places all over this world the gospel seed can go to and reach people for Christ. Where is it going to prosper? God said, we don't know. We don't know whether this shall prosper, either this or that, whether they shall both be alike good. We just don't know. We don't know where it's going to go. The people that we give it to, they may take it and throw it on the ground. But some other boy coming and cleaning the streets may pick it up and take it home and read it and get saved. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that when the gospel seed is given, it will prosper because it is God's word. Fifthly, it may prosper sometime down the road. You know, as we give these things out to people and as we pass them out, not everybody's going to get saved at that same time. Some people will get it and forget about it. They'll leave it sit on their coffee table or they'll slide it on a bookshelf. And 10 years later when they move, they'll see that little pamphlet that somebody gave them. Or someday when they're just sitting there doing nothing, that little John Romans will be in their house. And maybe a visitor will come by and say, "What is that?" And they'll say, "Oh, somebody gave me that. Somebody just, we were down there celebrating the Day of the Dead, and somebody just gave it to us. Can I read it?" "Yeah, you can have it if you want. I haven't read it. I don't know what's in it." He'll take it. I heard a story about a man in Toronto, Canada. He was a young man. He passed a street meeting. And as he passed the street meeting, he only heard one phrase of what was being said that night. And it was the phrase in Proverbs, "Son, give me thine heart. Son, give me thine heart." At that time, the verse apparently went in one ear and out the other. But more than 50 years later, 50 years later, the verse which had laid dormant in his heart became convictingly alive in his mind. And the man fell on his knees crying to God for mercy and forgiveness. Sometimes the gospel seed is sown and they don't receive it yet. You can't change those things. We don't know. The gospel is not something that is forced upon people. It's something that is freely offered, just as Christ freely offered himself on that cross. But it will prosper for some down the road. You never know but what that man who you give that John Romans to rejects Christ all his life, only one day to go to the doctor and the doctor to say, "I'm sorry, but it's terminal cancer. You only have a certain amount of days to live." We don't know, but it may be that at that time, God's word begins to speak to that man, that lady, that child. It begins to open their heart and work in their heart, and they, on that deathbed, just moments, just days, maybe hours before they realize their need to be saved, and they get saved. I'm saying to you, sometimes it prospers for some right in the nick of time, right at that last minute. Thank God it does. Thank God as long as there's breath in a person's life. And by the way, there's something about getting, when you get old and you've run from God all your life, and there's something about somebody who gets old who's run from God all their life, that when you hear bad news about your health, there's something that makes you start thinking. My wife's uncle, John, he got saved. My wife would send tracts, all the family send him gospel tracts. He didn't want to hear it. He said, quit bugging me. Leave me alone. But he got the news one day that he had cancer. And I don't remember all the details, but I know he got saved. And he called my wife and I over to the house. And I think that was maybe the second time I'd met John. But he said, guess what? He said, I received Christ. He was a changed man, different man. Sometimes it takes bad news from the doctor to wake somebody up. But unless the seed is sown, there's nothing for them to know to go back to when that time comes. Some, it prospers for them in the nick of time. The parable of the penny laborers reminds us that some work all day, some are at noon, and some at the last hour, but they all receive the same penny wage. Some get saved early in life. Some get saved in the middle of life. Some get saved in the nick of time. But they all receive Christ and get the joy of heaven because the gospel seed. Well, lastly, I want to say tonight, the gospel may prosper and continue to prosper until Jesus comes. You know what I like about the gospel? It's seed. Well, you give it to somebody, they get saved, they take the same gospel and give it to somebody else. And that person gets saved, they grow in the Lord, they take the gospel, they give it to somebody else. My, what a wonderful heritage of people that get saved from giving the gospel out. You know, it could be that somebody continues to get saved. Say the Lord tarries his coming for another 1,000 years. It could be from the gospel seed that's spread today that somebody hears it, receives it, they get saved, pass it on, and they pass it on, and they pass it on, and they pass it on long after you and I are in heaven. That's what I love about the gospel. It perpetuates itself. It keeps on going. You know, you may not realize it, but you are the product of somebody who got saved, 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 all the way back. That's what we are. We're products of somebody who gave the seeds out long ago. That's all we are. But when the seed was given out, it prospered. And it continues to prosper. And it's never going to stop prospering. It's just going to keep right on prospering until Jesus comes. That's what I love about the gospel. It just keeps on going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It doesn't run out of battery. Amen? It's the gospel. It's the word of God. And church, you know, the reason I put so much emphasis on what we're doing is not just because it's a trip and we'll enjoy ourselves. We'll have some fun. We'll do some fishing. We'll throw some of these teenage boys in the river and let the piranhas eat them. We'll have a good time. Amen, Cooper? Yeah. We'll have fun. We'll do some good things. But the best thing is, these are going to go to somebody who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to go further than what we know and further than what we can tell or see. I was just talking to one of the guys we're going with, and he told me, he said, He said, there's probably about 40 or 50 villages up that river where we're going that have been reached with the gospel. He said, but beyond it, we know of at least another 400 to 500 villages that have never one time heard the gospel. I said, brother, that's mission trip number two. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I want to get close up there, give them to somebody who can go back in there and take them up in there, and give them to people who've never heard one time a gospel presentation in their language so they can know how to get saved. What a thrill. What a joy. I'm glad to be part of that. Let's keep sowing that seed in the morning. Don't quit in the evening. Just keep right on sowing it. It's going to prosper because it's the will of God. We don't know where, how, or when. We don't know all that. We'd like to see it all happen immediately. But we don't know where it's all going to go. We're just going to trust God that he'll take his word and prosper it in the lives of somebody. And we'll know in heaven, won't we? We'll get to see all that in heaven. That's going to be one of the good things of heaven. And what we did over there tonight, you know, that's just a little touch. Just a little touch of what we're going to find out in heaven. It's going to be a good time. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.